We're going to move along here, and our final wrap-up speaker is going to be George, who was part of panel one. From our early ancestors have been passed to the General Service Conference, and here a man who was there at the beginning of the General Service Conference.
Thank you very much, Frank. I'm George, and I'm an alcoholic. I was very, very lucky that I'd gone through an awful lot of this as an active member, beginning member. Because once in a while, though, you know, I don't like the term old-timers. I prefer long-timers. And once in a while, you get in trouble. You know, I always point to my girlfriend over here. I shouldn't mention any names in front of all of you, but you just heard her. And Nell and I go a long way back. And then I'll look over and I say, and that's my wife over there. And I hope she's over there and not fighting with me. There's so much to say about Alcoholics Anonymous. All of us attending this and other sessions are the real message of AA. We're the people that demonstrate that all that we are and have works. And AA does indeed work and is very much alive and well. You know, we could make another whole talk, a whole morning's talk, out of all the beautiful things that came out of these speakers. But there's one thing that's particularly important I learned in a little AA group over in Poland many years ago. The most important group are you out there. Now, would you like to join me in thanking the committee that made this possible, our General Service Gang, and all of you? Anyway. Thank you all very, very much. I hope Bob P. is here because he gave one of the finest closing talks when he retired as manager. But he pointed out that we were pretty rigid. Bob, I think we're getting over the rigidity. Don't you? You know, to me, an anniversary is not only a time to tell a little bit about what's going on. It's also a time to take a little inventory of ourselves. It's also a time to express our gratitude to all of those who made all of this possible. I'd like to do that with you for just these next few minutes. Tonight we pay homage, we express our love, and we remember with the deepest of feelings Bill, Bob, Bob's dad, their good wives, and this little gang here that made these things possible. Because they gave of themselves, they proved by themselves that we could live again. Forming those 12 steps was a work of art, as I'm Fran could tell. And they were fought over and fought over. Yes, California got in the act. Because I knew some of the founders out there. I knew Al well. I knew Cliff well. And those disagreements, though, taught us how to disagree without being too disagreeable. I'm here as one of those who literally lost everything. I had a father whose things you use every day. And I was getting ready for a business meeting, and I went to a treatment center in Ohio. Born in Canada, we had transferred to the States. And in that treatment center, after I was able to hear and maybe understand, it took 3 days, a nurse said to me, "You know, George, you don't need to be like this. there is something new. My brother just found it in Akron. It's called AA. And that was my beginning in August of 1938. But let me correct that. That was the beginning. I was one of those that Bob spoke about, the stubborn type. I had to try and find my own way. But finally, in 1944, on a grand day, our armistice day down here, I had the last one. So this is my 51st year. We won't go into the sad parts. But, you know, we had some nice things happen over the years. My first marriage was one of the first women in AA in Milwaukee. She'd had 48 years this year. My present wife was married to an AA whose husband I knew years back. And in Seattle, we made them all stand up and behave because I said I wasn't only sharing a meeting there. I said, we're here on our honeymoon, so behave. They all did. And this week we celebrate our 5th anniversary because of you. So most of my life, most of my family, I have two sons. Some of you know one. The gang here came up to help me celebrate my 50th in our hometown near Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And they saw a son get his 10th and a grandson get his 7th and two nephews. And the son that got his 10th was the reason I sought that treatment that time. Because he told me, Dad, I never want to see you anymore. When he was a kid. Well, these are things that happen to all of us. But in sobriety, I've known every possible gratification, every possible reward and honor that one could dream of. And you know, I was thinking last night, what do you tell these people? Well, all that any of us can say is, I am an example that it does work. I first met Bill and Lois in Dayton, Ohio, when I think they held the first or second open meeting. They came there to the home of a very private citizen. In those days, the big, beautiful manses had a third floor. And that's where we met, on that third floor. Their son, one of the founders of the Dayton, Ohio group, is a well-known figure, and he has a grandson, now in AA, too. But Bill and Lois were marvelous, and my thought was, after seeing him, then, this guy's one hell of a good salesman. What's he doing in this racket? But you know, Bill had another. Bill had the ability, as Nell pointed out so well, that he could be heartbroken. He could be mad as all devil's own. And still he could set that aside for the betterment of AA. I was at a meeting in Chicago in the period that Nell was talking about developing in the late 40s, the General Service Conference. He had just come back from California where they turned him down cold. And he was speaking in the Labor Temple down on Randolph Street in Chicago. And this is back in 48 or 49, I think now. 3,000 or 4,000 people, like here. And they turned him down cold. And he came back from the stage, and there was a tear down each cheek. And I said, hi, Bill, was it that bad? I was backstage, because I'd been on a committee in Wisconsin helping get this thing going. And I had a new wife there with me. And I told him she was in AA. He said, all of his heart aside, grabbed her, spun her around, and said, honey, this is the whole world. You're in AA. That he could do. Because to him, the purpose of life was more important than anything else. It was my good privilege and special honor and a great joy to serve on the first delegate, as the first delegate for Wisconsin and Northern Michigan Peninsula. And I can remember the 51 and 52 meetings. I can remember with Bill stretched out on the bed and Dr. Norris sitting, pleading for us to find a better way to handle and treat alcoholics. Pleading for some of us to lead the way. Remember that now? So he says, George, why don't you try it? I said, I'll think about that. I'd already been trying it, setting up a treatment center with a nun in Milwaukee. The first thing we must remember when we criticize the outside centers is that every worthwhile treatment program in this North American continent of ours was started by a recovered member active in AA. Never forget that. Then the pros moved in after it was, you know, there was money and other things in it. And we haven't perhaps done all of the 12-step work we might do better. But as was pointed out by two of our panelists, they need us more than ever before. Ever before. When Bill came to Milwaukee to visit, I think it was the late 40s or early 50s, Bill and Lois came and they were at my home for breakfast. Bill had just received a fiddle from the founder of the Milwaukee group who was dying of cancer, a good friend of his, Gib, you remember. And he was playing the fiddle, and I'd asked him again about what to do in this field. And Lois was saying, Bill, sit down. You're going to spoil Jane's breakfast. Jane said, sit down. Your breakfast is getting cold. All of the people representing all of programs, liquor interests, everything, from around the world at a special meeting and conference in Banff. Bill stretched out on the floor, Dr. Jelinek, Sheldon Bacon, all the big wigs in the field, all there. A couple of us tending the fireplace, and they're trying to work out a future for the betterment of the alcoholic. And out of that came some marvelous things. Marvelous, marvelous thing. One where he had that business of being friendly with our friends. That came about, that meeting I just spoke about, came about right after the Long Beach Conference in 1960, where Hank Greenery started on that pamphlet, friendly with our friends. And Bill had that, and Nell had a big hand in it. And then, of course, Hank didn't get any far. He was stuck, and we saw him after it. He was stuck with in Las Vegas, of all places, with a heart attack or a stomach attack or something. But that friendly with our friends was the beginning of a whole new era. And we began to grow like mad. And you know, we're in the stage right now today in AA. If we do our job as gratitude for our recovery, we could almost double AA in the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, well, there were so many things that I could share with you about him. His disappointments grew into many happy thoughts afterward. Let me tell you one story about Lois. When they came to Milwaukee on that trip, I took Lois to see a new treatment center. And there was a wife of a doctor in bed then. She'd just gotten over DTs. Very well-known socialite. And we hadn't done too much with her. And there was just, Lois went in, she had on a little corsage and visited with her for a little while. When she was leaving, she got to the doorway, she took off the corsage, went back to the woman in the bed, and she said, you know, honey, it's just as easy to kick yourself up as it is to keep kicking yourself down. And she pinned it on the girl. The girl never again took another drink. An Al-Anon gesture. But the things do with families. You know, that first big conference in Milwaukee, you know what we're like. In 52, after the second, we decided we'd better have our first big do. And my dad had known the Pfister family at the old Pfister Hotel there, and there's some Milwaukeeans here, I remember. And they held a whole hotel for me for that conference in 52. And come 3 days before it, the father and son come in and said, George, I don't think this is going to work. We don't have 200 registrations, and you've got the whole damn hotel. By the next night, over 600 had showed up. Typical AA, don't we do it? Has AA changed? Not one bit. We're still fighting about money, aren't we? And those things we say about some of the members after they're out the door? Well, you know, there are also some wonderful things that can go on. We're going over our time. I don't want to keep you, but I want to say just these few more little things. Nell and I had lunch with Lois, I think it was 2 weeks before she had her last six spell. And if ever there was a mother of anything, I think she was it. But back of that was Bob's mother and Mrs. Cyberling, who made all of this come to place. When that history was started and AA comes to be, I think every member should have a copy of AA Comes of Age. We're fortunate, you know. We've got people like George at the office. We had Gordon out there for a while. Our non-alcoholic trustees. We've been fortunate enough to have very special things around all of our lives. Most of us have been lucky because we've been able, in sobriety, to develop wonderful family lives. I have the most wonderful, thoughtful, understanding wife. And you know, we get to be awfully ornery sometimes when we get right and just, you know. Well, there was a time when I think each of us needed reassurance. Each of us needed to know that AA would still be there. Later that became a worry with a marvelous bunch of trustees, and the conference came into being. None of us know, I don't think, what'll happen after groups like this. The first one I remember, Lefty, a man by the name of Lefty, some of you would remember him well, stood in Cleveland, couldn't get a plane out, or stood in Yale trying to get a plane out to there. But all the rest we've made. Thousands of friends we each have. Every day, these mount into prayers bigger than we can count. And they're all for all of us. We find in AA, as we read through all these pages of AA Comes of Age, the many beautiful thoughts that people like us who were abhorred, who were turned down, who were put out. I got into the treatment field because I saw a woman in the nude. I was a guinea pig in a treatment center in a state hospital. And I saw a woman in the nude, fed because she was an alcoholic, in a steel pan shoved under her door. I remember seeing a priest in a dungeon. And I know what happened to me walking in the circle with a weighted mop. Oh, I know those experiences. You'll remember them. I know that Earl remembers some of them. We talked about those some long time ago. But those people suffered those things because the rest of the world didn't know. You and I know that God found us and held on to us, or our higher power as we know it, until we found ourselves and learned to hang on to that higher power. Well, time won't permit me to say all the things I'd like to say. Bill and Bob, Lois and Ann, they gave us the most precious gift of all. The ability to regain and renew our own lives. But they also gave us the ability over life, which even doctors don't always have. They gave us the ability, and sometimes the strength, and sometimes the tolerance. But they gave us the know-how to give life back to somebody else. greater prayer in the world, you know, than praying for our sobriety. I'd like to borrow a thought from a friend I think is here, Gavin. He says, thank you, God, for all that you gave me. Thank you, God, for all that you took away. But thank you, God, for all that you left me. And God knows you're a lot of everything. Thank you very much.
For all those who care to join me, Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass